This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae. Good morning, Tina Mae. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Oh, boy. Good morning, Gary. How was your Labor Day weekend?
Well, the weekend is fine, but Tuesday's starting out very, very interesting. So we're having a little technical thing
going
on. It is. It is. But despite all of that, we have a great show lined up today for Saddle Up America. And tell our audience who we have joining us today.
Ooh, absolutely. Today we have my friend, our Trailmeister, Robert Eversole. Then we travel to Daniel, Wyoming, and talk with Melanie Peterson, owner of Timberline Lodge Big Country Outfitters. It's an interesting
right.
show.
It is going to be a fun show. And by the way, Robert's my friend, too. So we always, always look forward to having the Trailmeister with us. But Saddle Up America would not be possible without the great support of our sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. And you can find them in the general store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about TrailGuard by visiting them at trailguard.org. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in that saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister, on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Wildcat Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. And when that sheriff said, "I'm sending you to jail," Wildcat raised his head and cried, "Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. I want to be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood tree. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the wet commences. Gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in."
Robert Eversole, welcome to the show.
Don't fence me in.
I don't think there's a chance of anybody fencing you in. You're on the road and on the trail and traveling, and gosh, it's already been a quick month, and here we are back again visiting.
No kidding. It's been a wild summer so far, and it looks like it's just going to keep me out of trouble for the most part.
Well, good luck with that. Gosh. But you stay very, very busy with not only the trail riding and the backpacking and the articles that you write for so many different magazines, but you are also highly in demand as a clinician at horse expos and at clinics that are put on by great riding destinations and clubs. And we want to talk just a little bit today, Robert, about what actually happens at a Trailmeister clinic, because you just did a great event, what was it, last weekend up in Washington at Fire Mountain Trail Course?
Yeah, with Marilyn Pineda's place. Yeah, it was a great time, and I don't know that it was the standard clinic, because we had one heck of a storm that blew through. It was one of my most memorable clinics of the year. The space that we had for the chat, the wind came and blew everything down, and then we lost power.
Oh, no.
That might not be the normal talk.
Then you had to talk about survival.
Tell me about it. It was fun. We had a great time, and I guess if there's any one thing that a Trailmeister clinic has, it's having a good time. Because if you don't have a good time, what's the point? Life's too short.
Well, tell us about. I'm here. Tell us about what happens at your clinics, Robert.
Okay. Well, it really depends on the clinic. You know, we've got a number of different Trailmeister talks that we do. Last week at Fire Mountain, we talked on the first day about how to set up a high line. You know, there are all different number of ways to make sure your horse is in the same place in the morning as where you left it in the evening. So we talked about some of the different options, everything from, you know, a boat hoist to, you know, traditional highline setups with a couple knots and a carabiner or two. You know, talked about leave no trace and things like that. And so that was really good. And one of the things that I like to do during my talks is, you know, I get bored talking at people, so I like to talk with my audience. So we try to make them as interactive as possible. So when we're talking about high lines, by golly, you better be ready to throw a high line up yourself.
Oh, that's great. You know, because I'm one of these people that I've got to do it myself. You can tell me and listen, but it's easier for me to actually put my hands on. And so,
exactly.
I think there's a lot of people like that. It just stays with them more so. Do you also show, like, the different types of knots and things? Because there's so many knots out there, and there's the proper knot.
We do. Well, you know, I'm not a big knot or rope person, really. And I found that I can set up a high line with just a handful of different types of knots. And we go through all of them, everything from, you know, tying the bowline on that first tree to start the high line to, you know, an alpin loop or a clove hitch to put a loop in the rope and secure it all off with a half hitch. And everybody else is just going, oh, good Lord. But they're really simple. If I can figure these things out, anybody can. And they're cheap.
Exactly.
No need to buy gadgets.
It's pretty much, what, three knots will do you pretty well on a high line, three different kinds of knots.
Three knots will get the high line set, and then you add that prussic, you know, that loop to tie the horses to the line, and you're golden. After you get that done, it's time to go get a cup of coffee and watch them stand peacefully.
And they have the right length for them as well, so they don't get all tangled up.
Exactly. So it's not hard stuff.
What are the most asked questions that you get from your people?
Oh, you know, it varies. But I guess if I had to say, the most common question that I get is what about, you know, the lions and the bears and the tigers? To which my reply is, what about them? You know, if you have the opportunity to see one of these glorious creatures, you're fortunate. And the chances of having a problem with wildlife is terribly, terribly small. I worry more about bees and grouse than I have ever worried about, you know, bears or tigers. So,
you know,
that's right.
Yes, I have to agree with that, because this last trip that we took, we seen about everything. I mean, I literally rode up onto a bull moose. We rode up on two bears in Montana, and, of course, we seen the big elk and everything else like that, but... Shoot, here in Missouri, I think the biggest thing is bees, and I really don't think I want to walk up on a wild hog, especially a mama.
Yeah,
hog.
Yeah.
But,
I just think that people are worried perhaps about the wrong things, and I can certainly understand, because let's face it, the story about running it, you know, meeting the bear is so much more entertaining and memorable than the story about, yeah, I was riding along and my horse got stung and I fell off. you know, the bear story makes so much better news. But I think we have to remember that, you know, it's news because it was memorable. And by definition, memorable means it doesn't happen that often.
Oh, yeah, it's much bigger, and you can make a more exciting story out of the bear story.
Oh, heavens,
well,
yes.
I've got a question for you, talking about memorable experiences and what you might encounter on the trail. I've seen a lot of posts lately, probably in the last couple of days, that people are sharing around on Facebook about ground bees right now.
Yeah,
so,
ground bees scare the dickens out of me.
All right, so what do you do? How do you handle a situation like that?
Don't be third in line.
Oh, heavens. Tina hit that one right on the nail on the head. You know, with ground bees, I mean, there are places I won't go. And it's not hard to get me not to ride, you know, in late summer, early fall, when the ground bees are typically most active. When I do ride, I try to ride up front because, you know, the old saying is, you know, to my experience, true. The first horse wakes him up, the second horse, you know, gets him annoyed, and the third horse, gee golly, it's a rodeo time.
So. Well, I mean, you know, it's like everybody can't be can't be the number one horse. So
exactly.
Yeah, how do you deal with the bees? I mean, you just try to ride it out and get away from them, or what do you do?
That's really the only thing you can do. I think pre-ride planning is really the key, and before you head out, you know, I went out this weekend with my wife to a new place here in Spokane, Micah Peak, and we talked about it before we left, and it was just the two of us. I said, you know, this is, you know, bee season, so if you hear me holler bees, you know, put the spurs to her, because we got to get through pretty darn quick before there's a problem.
September, you know, is the season for bees, and just kind of keep note that when you're out riding on the trail, a lot of times if you're on a busy trail or populated trail, if somebody has come across bees, a lot of times they'll go back and they will mark the territory with some kind of ribbon or something out there before the bees and after the bees in case they're coming or going. So kind of keep in mind that if you see a ribbon tying in, you know, hung up in a tree and you're not really sure what it's for, you might want to be on the lookout for some bees, because people do like to forewarn people because they can be kind of dangerous.
Oh, yeah, and that's a great point.
I could see Tina May having a ribbon in her saddlebag, but, you know, I don't know whether Robert and I would have a ribbon. Robert, do you carry ribbons in your gear?
I do. I have a red ribbon tied to my horse's crupper all the time. It's my get-out-of-jail-free card. It tells people not to get too close.
Right, right. But I mean, so, you know, you're going to take it out of his tail and hang it in a tree, or is there a universal sign
for
being careful of these?
I never thought about doing that, but I could, and I may in the future. I guess my only concern with that kind of thing is, you know, a lot of the places where I ride, they have a lot of endurance rides and things like that, or
yeah,
other events where people flag the trails. But, you know, it's always good. If you see something, there's a reason somebody put it there, and that reason, you know, I'm going to start looking at flags a lot more after hearing Tina May say that. Maybe I'll go to the far side of the trail or go up to a nice little trot and get past them. But, you know, these scare the dickens out of me. They really do. You know, and like I said, you know, it's not hard to get me not to ride, you know, during this time of the year.
Right.
And, you know, I'll break out the kayak just because bees bother me that much. Once you get past that first frost, it's usually not too bad. But, you know, from now until then, I'm going to be real, real picky about where I ride and especially who I ride with. Chances of finding me on a group ride this time of the year are pretty much slim to nil.
Well, and I think, I mean, your fear of the bees is very valid, because I think more people get hurt on their horses from bees, from ground bees, than anything else. I really do. And
you know, that would not surprise me. I don't have any data that says that, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit. You know, bees, you know, and they're just doing their job. They're just taking care of the house, I guess. But, mm-hmm, gee golly, that can be a big rodeo. I've seen some nasty rodeos, and I just don't want to be a part of them.
Well,
we're gonna take a quick break right here and come back more about Robert and his rodeo experiences out on the trail. But but let's talk about getting to the trail or back home safely, and that is Trail Guard. With 24-hour roadside travel assistance, you receive unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help you plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org. And one of the places that we love to talk about riding is out in the West, and we're going to come back after we listen to this great song by Sourdough Slim called Western Skies. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I've spent some time away now from my old home way out west. Now there's something stirring deep within my soul. I can hear that far off wail. Guess it's time to hit that trail. Western skies are calling me home. Out yonder across that great divide, on my pony I want to ride. There'll be no more hesitating. The prairie moon's awaiting. Western skies are calling me home. Western skies are calling me home. So I bid farewell and I say so long. In my heart there's a yearning be returning. Western skies are calling me home. Across that sagebrush covered land, I'll be sitting round the campfire, glad to be back home again. I can smell the bacon frying in the pan as I drink my coffee from a can. there's a blue sky up above. Country that I love, oh, western skies are calling me home. Western skies are calling me home. So I bid farewell and I say so long. In my heart there's a yearning to be returning. Western skies are calling me home. Western skies are calling me home. Western skies are calling me home.
Love those western skies, and that's a good one by Sourdough Slim. And before we took that break, we were talking about what everybody hates, and that's bees, ground bees. And Robert, you sound like a guy that's actually rodeoed once or twice out on the trails. Has that happened to you?
I can honestly say I've never had a rodeo because of ground bees on the trail. I've seen a few, you know, up
yeah.
ahead, back behind me. You know, my worst accident was a grouse. Coming back to the camp late in the afternoon, I'm half asleep, horse is half asleep, and a grouse, you know, just... When a grouse takes off, it's just this whir of feathers and anger. You know, it sounds like a helicopter at your feet. And it blew up right in front of me and scared me and fell off, rolled down the hill, and got a black eye.
It was not fun. Oh, wow.
I have a similar story, but mine was a turkey hen sitting on some eggs, and she waited till we got right on top of her, scared the bejiggers out of me, and I was riding Nugget at the time, and I never seen a horse run backwards so fast, and I came off.
I think I've been very fortunate that I've never had gotten too bad into bees. I mean, I've gotten into bees, but I've never had a rodeo. I've always managed to, you know, kind of ward off the problem ahead of time a little bit, and, you know, give them some leg and move on past. Or if I... you know, saw problems up ahead, and, you know, maybe it's time to take a detour or head back to camp and drink more coffee. Both certainly sound good to me.
There you go. What do you carry in your first aid kit for the bees if you happen to be unfortunate to get stung by those things?
Well, I'm not allergic to bee stings, so I don't carry an EpiPen or anything like that. I think I've generally got some Benadryl in, but that's something I think that everybody should kind of think for themselves about and talk with their physician and you know, if their animals if they get the big welts or what have you, maybe talk to your vet about what to do. Like I said, I've never had a problem for me, but I do carry, I'm pretty sure it's the Benadryl. I think that's what Celeste gives me when I get stung around the house to take the swelling down, sting out.
Not a whole lot extra, really. Yeah, those are pretty serious things. I mean, you know, when you're out on the trail, you just have to be aware and, you know, plan your route. And it's kind of neat today that with social media, folks that are out riding trails will actually start posting stuff and say, you know, at this spot you need to watch out for the ground bees and maybe some other challenges that folks might encounter out there on the trails.
Well, I think the biggest thing is the rodeo. You know, the horse gets the bucking and the snorting and everything else like that when they get stung. Normally in September, I honestly hardly ever have any problems with bees. I ride year-round, but it's me and my horse and my dog. And so by the time I get them all mad, I'm already past them. And so it's usually when you're in groups of three or more is when you're going to have problems with the bees. But when I am riding, I look for those logs. I look for hollowed out logs. They like to get up underneath, like if you got a rocky area and things like that. And I just kind of look for that. I just kind of look for some signs. And some people, like I said, they'll tie the strips on top if they're around bees to warn off somebody else, because it can be dangerous. But the dangerous, unless you're allergic to them, is mainly you've got a rodeo horse. So.
Well, and you can't blame the bees. Can't blame the horse. I mean, you know, the horse is just reacting to what he's encountered out there on the trail too. So
Well, I jump when I get stung. Well, I can't ask my horse not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Tina May has it right on point, though. You know, by the time the bees get riled up, she's gone. And I think that goes back a lot to, you know, my feelings about not riding, you know, in large groups during this time of the year. Just because if you're stuck in the middle, you know, if you're stuck in back, I guess you could see the problem and maybe avoid it. If you're stuck in the middle, you're just kind of SOL.
Kind of like being a middle child.
Not a good place to be.
Kind of like being a middle child, you know. So anyway, well, folks are out riding this fall. Fall weather is coming. People are really geared up to be getting out and enjoying these trails right now. It's a beautiful time of year to get out and ride. And we're still kind of warm back here in Tennessee for another day, but we have the promise of some nice fall-like weather coming in by the time we get to the weekend. So I know folks are hitting the campgrounds and hitting the trails and getting ready to enjoy some cooler weather riding. So they'll be riding in some big groups. So I guess Tina May's suggestion in Roberts is don't be in the middle. You know, you guys can fight to be in the front or in the back. Don't don't get in the middle.
It's maybe, good as a big gap.
Yeah, maybe you can draw straws to see who has to ride in that middle spot or something. But,
maybe.
You know, Trailmeister has got a great website, and we were talking at the beginning of the show about the fact that you're highly in demand to speak at clinics and expos and things. You have anything coming up this fall?
Yeah. This coming weekend, I'm going to be at in Ellensburg, Washington, toward the west side. And going to be speaking with the Washington Quarter Horse Association. So it's their annual hoo-ha. So I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday chatting with them pretty much about whatever they want to talk about. Sure, we'll probably throw some Highline stuff in there. I'm positive we're going to talk about trail safety and things of that nature. So that's going to be a great time. And then what's the next one? October 10th, if that's a Saturday, I will be on in Western Washington again. I always wind up going back to Western Washington. I guess that's where all the peoples is. And we'll be chatting about, it's a brand new talk, but we're going to be talking about going from being a trailhead rider or trailhead camper to a backcountry rider and camper, and kind of that evolution, so going from no pack animals to pack animal and some of the trials and tribulations that I've experienced on the way. So that should be a fun thing. And those are the two that I'm thinking of at the top of my head anyway.
Okay. All right. And do you keep your speaking schedule on your website?
I do. It's on there someplace. I can't say that it's really updated at the moment because I've been kind of out and about. So I need to get in there and clean that up. The new website's going to be here. We should be live the 1st of October, and I know that has all the updated stuff. So visit trailmeister.com and visit early and often. And you'll get the good info there, as well as links to, you know, contact me if you want me to come talk. I always like talking with horse groups. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, you know, I try to keep the chats as informative and entertaining as possible because life's too short not to.
Yeah. Well, you're a great speaker. You're always a lot of fun to have on this show. And a great website. Great trail maps, great information on trailmeister.com. So visit that, as Robert says often, and see what he's got going on. And we'll be watching for the new website when it rolls out the 1st of next month. And how's Boo doing, by the way?
He's chewing on my foot as we speak. Yeah, Boo is he's doing well, but you can really tell that I've been out a lot. You know, I've been gone, well, quite a bit this summer on various pack trips and the like, and he's willful now. So I need to work with him a lot more. I think we started a new class, the AKC obedience class. I think that starts here in a week or two. So we'll get on that, get him back into shape. But he's doing well. I weighed him over the weekend. He weighs 34 pounds now. 34 pounds of willfulness.
Getting to be a big boy. Well, listen, we always love talking with you. And, again, the website is trailmeister.com. You can keep up with he's going to update his tour schedule so folks can find him and always want to go and visit there. And you probably ought to start a blog about Boo so we can all follow his progress on.
I think I may have to. He's the critter. He's the cute one of the two, that's for sure.
All right.
I'd much rather read about Boo than me.
Well, there you go.
Have a great day.
Well, Robert, thanks so much, and look forward to talking with you again very, very soon. And when we come back,
yes,
we're going to be
week.
Traveling. Yeah, we are. That's right. So we'll be talking next week. That'll be a fun show. But right now, we're going to be going to the great state of Wyoming and visit with Melanie Peterson at Timberline Lodge and Big Country Outfitters. When we come back, you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, I'm weary and tired. I've done my days right. Night time is rolling my way. The sky's all on fire and the light's slowly fading, peaceful and still in the day. Out on the trail, nightbirds are calling, singing their wild melody. Down in the canyon, cottonwood whispers a song of Wyoming for me. I've wandered around the town and the city, tried to figure out the how and the why. Well, I've stopped all my scheming, I'm just drifting and dreaming, watching that river roll. Here comes that big old prairie moon rising, shining down as bright as can be. Up on the hill, there's a coyote calling a song of Wyoming for me. Now it's whiskey and tobacco and bitter black coffee, a lonesome old dogie am I. But waking up on the range, Lord, I feel like an angel, feel like I almost could fly. Drift like a cloud out over badlands, sing like a bird on the wing. The wind and the sand song of Wyoming for me. A song of Wyoming for me.
Well, it's a beautiful song by Mary Kay from her new CD, and the song of Wyoming, and we picked that one out especially for our next guest, and we'd like to welcome to the show now Melanie Peterson of Timberline Lodge and Big Country Outfitters. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Melanie.
Great. We're looking forward about finding out more about Timberline Lodge and Big Country Outfitters, and you have probably the ideal location and setup. There is something to do year-round at your facility. And we're going to tell people how to find your website and your Facebook page a little bit later, but we always like to find out a little bit about how long a facility has been in existence and how it got started. And tell us a little bit about exactly where you are and how you ended up there.
Well, sure. We are located in a small town of Daniel, Wyoming, which the population is 100, and it's been the same for about 100 years.
Oh, wow.
So we sure enjoy our peace and quiet. We are located about 70 miles southeast of Jackson Hole in Yellowstone Park. We're located in the Wyoming Range. You can actually see all three Wyoming ranges from here, the Wind River, the Gros Ventre Wilderness, and then, of course, the Wyoming. But kind of a quaint little spot. We're along the Green River at the headwaters of the Green here. There's lots and lots of places to ride. Our ranch is actually bordered right on the 3.4 million acre Bridger Teton Forest. So lots of opportunity for summer activities, and, of course, this is a snowmobiling haven for those enthusiasts.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I think just doing a little research, you maybe were an Oregon girl and then maybe Northern California. How did you end up in Wyoming?
Well, I met my husband at a rodeo in Casey, Wyoming, and we started this business about 15 years ago. We built everything that was here. It was just a piece of vacant land that bordered the national forest and had good water, and we decided we really liked it here and decided this is what we wanted to do for a living. My husband pro-rodeoed for a few years, and I've always been in the hunting and outdoor industry, so we decided to make our love of the outdoors a business.
Oh, wow. Well, and the photographs that you have, when they visit your website, if there are any hunters out there, and I know we have a lot of folks that love to trail ride, but they also like to hunt and fish. But if you visit the trophy room on your website, you've got some trophy animals that are taken out there.
We do, and we're actually just about 2 days away from getting underway with a very busy hunting season. We take a handful of guided hunters, but we also set up camps for do-it-yourself people, and we have a little private sporting club operation that goes on here. We just unveiled that program this year, and we're selling 12 memberships to this ranch, which provides the members 4 weeks of use per year, and they can use it winter, spring, summer, fall. The fishing, of course, is phenomenal. We're right here on the Green River. Horseback riding, our spring is actually June, so you'll have June, July, August, which is the best time to be trail riding. And
right.
Then hunting season for us is September, October, November, and then we have winter for about 9 months.
And we're going to talk about some of the winter activities in just a little bit. But, you know, a lot of times we like to find out what came first, the chicken or the egg. And in your case, it was the hunting first, wasn't it, and then the trail riding?
It was. We actually built our first cabin over here with the idea that we were just going to use it kind of as a base camp and hunt. This is a favorite area of ours we started coming to in the early 90s. And we actually bought an outfitter out of business, and I think it was 2000, really with the idea that we were going to get rid of some of the hunting pressure. But then we decided we really loved it and decided to share that opportunity with others. And became a business. But yeah, the hunting started, and then we do several pack trips in the summertime. We do both backcountry, and then we do daily rides here from the lodge that kind of encompasses wildlife viewing and fishing. And we do some ministry pack trips for our church, and we do some girls glamping trips from 3 to 5 days long. And
I guess we've had some glamping folks on the show in the last few weeks. So that's, yeah, these ladies like the glamping.
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think even us guys do a little, if we'd admit it. We enjoy some of that, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna in a little bit later, we're gonna talk about some of the trails. That's Tina May's passion. She likes to find out about the trails and the riding back through there. And I forgot where I was going with that. I had a thought, and it just left me. That has to do with my age.
I want to get her going on some good stories. With all these packing trips and all these hunts she has, I bet she's got a handful of good stories to tell.
Hey, I've learned that to be a good storyteller is an art. not everyone can tell a great story, but I'm pretty well known for my good stories.
Oh, good.
Some of them which closely resemble the truth.
Well, you wouldn't be a fisher person if you couldn't kind of exaggerate a little bit on those things. So that's pretty neat. You combine a lot of different things at your facility because you have the trail riding, and you have the outfitting and the backcountry activities. You also do some covered wagon events, don't you?
We do. The town of Pinedale, Wyoming, which is about 35 miles from here, actually contracts our big draft team. We have a team of spotted drafts, Itchy and Scratchy, and they pull a covered wagon around on Fridays and Saturdays in the town of Pinedale for the tourists. And that's just a free activity that takes the tourists up and down the streets. We have, I think, I don't know, 8 blocks that we travel as our main route. But on the off days, we do covered wagon dinner rides, which is a unique opportunity for folks that may not be able to ride a horse but definitely want to participate in the outdoor activities and the campfire. So folks that want to ride can saddle up and trail ride alongside the wagon. And we have about a 30-minute wagon ride to our forest location where we cook a tri-tip dinner over a barbecue and sing around a campfire and do some s'mores and spend about 3 hours out in the woods.
Oh, that's great. And I do remember what my thought was that left me a minute ago. And that was going to lead into the trail riding. But you guys have a ranch down in Texas where you raise horses. And then those horses are used for your trail riding, aren't they?
Yes. We actually have a small place in Decatur, Texas. We have a stallion and several brood mares. And we raise quite a few paint horses and quarter horses. And then what we don't use for team roping and the rodeo arena, we actually bring up here to Wyoming and make really nice trail horses out of them. So most of the folks who come in the summertime have horses at home, and they may either bring their horses or may choose just to leave their horses at home and ride some of ours.
Okay, all right. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the trails, but we're going to take just a real quick break. And really, the songs that we're going to use during this last half, they were all chosen with Wyoming and Timberline Lodge in mind. And I bet you don't ever have any mountain storms out there, do you?
Oh, no, just a couple times a week.
Just a couple times a week. All right. Well, we're going to listen to a beautiful song by Michael Martin Murphy called Mountain Storm. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Melanie and find out about those horse trails and what you can see. And we're also going to talk about some of the winter activities that sound like just a lot of fun. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be right back.
Sudden clouds go sailing by. You take the darkness, you take the light. Follow the trail beyond your time. Love is unforeseen and free. It's only constant in its change. It needs the thunder, it needs the steam, it needs the heat, it needs the chill. Oh, won't you wait a little while before you cry, before you smile? Love will grow cold, it will grow warm. True love is like a mountain storm.
Problems. I don't think we have any active burning in Wyoming, but all the fires in Oregon and Idaho sure have made it smoky this summer. A couple weeks ago, you couldn't even see the mountains from here.
Oh, wow. 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 Well, it's been tough for our friends out in Washington and Oregon and parts of Colorado and Idaho. It's been a tough fire season.
Sure has.
Yeah, but I know Tina wanted to talk about some of your trail riding and some things, Tina May.
Yes, I've actually got several questions. One of the things that we didn't cover that we usually cover right off the bat is your facilities. We didn't even talk about your cabins or the facilities that you have there.
Well, we have a small operation. I mean, our guest capacity here is 20 people. We have a main lodge where we serve meals from, and then we have a large cabin that sleeps 6 to 8 people, and that's kind of set up for families that want a vacation and do their own meals and, you know, kind of have their own private facility. And then we have several cabins on our private lake, and those cabins each sleep 2 to 4. So we have a small facility here. The average group size for us is between 4 and 8 people, sometimes 12. Just really a small, close group. We get a chance to really know each other over the course of a week, and we kind of like it that way. We said a long time ago if we had to take the masses on at our place that we just wouldn't do the business. So we've made it work with just small groups and kind of gained a reputation for that.
No, that makes it really nice. You have a week-long ranch vacation trip. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does that entail?
You get kind of everything. We start out here at the lodge, and then two of the nights during the trip will be an backcountry pack trip. So we spend two nights at a camp that we have set up. Everything's horseback. One of the cool things about our area is the fact that the roads are closed to motorized vehicles. So if you want to get into the backcountry here, you have to either be horseback or hiking, which provides an ample opportunity to see lots of wildlife and very few people on foot. I mean, you can literally spend a week back here and not see another person, which is... Jackson Hole is gorgeous, but it's very popular. So it's hard to get away from the people. And here our ranch is sitting at 8,500 feet. And we border, like I said, the 3.4 million acre Bridger Teton. But we have an opportunity for the folks when they come on that week-long ranch vacation, they get a little bit of everything. Fishing, backcountry packing, staying at a nice cabin, and then the neighboring ranches here run about 3,000 head of cows, and so we'll spend a day or two helping. We'll do some pasture roping and some doctoring and maybe moving cattle from one feed allotment to the next, but not necessarily a city slickers trail drive. I mean, we actually do work, and it is real work. It's not just a gimmick.
Right.
So if they're comfortable, they can participate. If they're just comfortable watching, that's okay too.
Oh, that's nice. Now, you talk about the wildlife. Now, people that are not familiar with Wyoming wildlife, why don't you talk about some of the big game that you see there?
Well, Wyoming's pretty unique. We actually have several species of big game. We have deer, elk, antelope, moose, bears. We have both black bears and grizzly bears. We have wolves. We have bighorn sheep, and we have Rocky Mountain goats. And I've heard, and I've experienced as well, that you're actually able to see more animals here in our Wyoming range portion of the forest than you will driving through Yellowstone Park.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow. Probably because it isn't as populated. They migrate there, I would imagine.
Exactly.
You also offer, besides your all-inclusive package and your different vacation trips, you also offer where people can come bring their own horses and come and ride as well. Tell us a little
Correct.
Bit about the trails.
Well, let's say you have horses at home and that you'd really like to ride your own horses up here. We do have corral facilities available, so folks are able to just rent a cabin, keep their horses in the corrals. We can arrange to have hay ready for them when they arrive, or they're welcome to bring their own. But it just is it's kind of a neat situation where most people want you to rent just their horses. We do allow people to bring their own horses. We've arranged groups. Backcountry Horsemen has been up here, and I think they had 150 people actually on this organized ride. And our facility is not big enough for that type of a group, but we do have a permit on the forest, and we were able to commandeer a large camp area, and folks were able to bring their living quarters trailers and their tents and their horses. And we just had the meals catered and did organized trail rides every day.
Oh, that's nice. And about how many miles of trails do you have? I'm sure it's endless.
You know what? You literally can leave our backyard and head west, and you will not cross a piece of private property or a road you can drive on until you hit the Snake River at Idaho.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And as a crow flies, that's about 70 miles.
Wow. Oh, it sounds gorgeous. Well, I know, you know, Mike, I have to say, on this, I took a big trip last month, and I hit Colorado, South Dakota, up in Montana, and Wyoming. And I have to say, Wyoming was the prettiest. I was at the Bighorn Mountains, and it was just gorgeous there, just picturesque. And
it's really getting pretty right now. The leaves are turning color, and so the aspens are starting to get that orange and yellow and red coloring, and we get to enjoy that for a few weeks before the wind takes all the pretty leaves away, but... It's a gorgeous time of the year to come now.
Awesome.
You have folks that come in to for your hunting season, but do you have folks that come and stay with you just so they can enjoy the snowmobiling and the skiing that's close by?
Yeah, there's a small ski resort in Pinedale, Wyoming, which is about 35 miles from here. I think they have three or four runs. And then, of course, Jackson Hole is world famous for all their ski resorts. And that's about 70 miles from here. But we have folks that just come and rent the cabin, and all they want to do is snowshoe and cross-country ski. Now, the kids or the young guys, if they want to get out in the snowmobile, there's groom trails. There's, I think there's 300 miles of groom trails. There's the Continental Divide Route. You can actually snowmobile all the way from here over to the Snake River Valley. But a lot of people just want to come and hang out by a warm fire and look at the snow.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, and you have a unique opportunity that you're making available for folks that might want to come and have a little bit of Wyoming paradise on their own. And tell us a little bit about that.
I'm sorry, you cut out and I did not hear you.
No, I'm talking about an opportunity that you have if folks want to own a and participate in a little piece of Wyoming paradise on their own. You have a unique opportunity for them.
Yeah, we actually started a sporting club, taking our lodge here and the facilities, and we decided that we would sell 12 memberships to this club. It provides them 4 weeks of use a year, and they can bring their friends and their family and occupy that larger cabin, which, like I said, sleeps 6 to 8 people. And so they get an opportunity to basically spend, you know, all four seasons here. If they want more summer weeks, they can trade with the other members for their weeks. But it's a really great opportunity for somebody to be able to afford having a cabin in another state without having to worry about the maintenance and, of course, the high cost of real estate.
Right, right.
So it's a really unique opportunity. We've basically what we do is anybody who's interested, we invite them to come spend a weekend out here and come see the property as on gratis on us, and we get a chance to know each other and decide if we really want a lifetime membership with each other.
Yeah, yeah, it's a two-way street on that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Tina, I cut you off. You had a question that you were going to ask, and I think I cut you off before you asked it.
Well, we were kind of talking about the trails, and just, you know, for our listeners out there that may not know about Wyoming Territory, I was going to talk to her about the terrain of the trails and if the trails are for novice to experienced riders, if she would just kind of talk about that a little bit.
You know, Tina, there's really something for everybody. We have trails that a novice rider can ride. They're actually just closed logging roads, so they're big, wide, nice trails. We have trails that go up to 10,000 feet if they're interested in a little bit more challenging ride. But quite honestly, I mean, we've had novice riders up at 10,000 feet too. Nothing too treacherous, but a lot of country to look at, and there's really something for everybody. We've had folks that have had very, very little horseback riding experience and still managed to have a great time. So it's, like I said, I think a little bit of everything for everyone.
I bet you have a lot of repeat customers. Once they get that little taste of heaven, I bet you they keep coming back.
We do. And they tell their friends, which is awesome. We do very little marketing for our summer trail riding and fishing. Hunting is a draw situation, so they have to be fortunate enough to draw a license for Wyoming. But, yeah, the summer, I think that this area of Wyoming is really the best-kept secret. It's, like I said, I call it the best non-commercialized scenery in the whole state.
Yeah, and you're quite the hunting woman. I called the other day, and you were on a bear hunt.
I was. I'll start hunting here in about 2 days, and I think of our 60-day hunting season, I hunted 57 out of 60 last year.
Oh,
amazing. You're Wonder Woman.
I do mostly guide. I get to hunt very little for myself these days, but I love to guide hunters.
Awesome.
That is too cool. Well, let's tell folks what your website is so they can find you and check out all of the activities, the facilities, and the seasons. It's a very helpful website, too. It really goes into a lot of detail as far as what's required.
You could spend all day on that website, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, our website for our activities in the lodge is www.timberlinetrips.com. So it's trips as in plural. And the sporting club is www.wyomingsportingclub.com. And both of those websites will get you to my contact information. And email is a great way to contact us, especially during the busy hunting season. Very few people are sitting around the lodge during the hunting season. So if you'd like to leave a message or send an email, we'll darn sure get back to you.
Okay. And I know there was a great little video that was on your website, too, that a mutual friend of ours narrated and kind of talks about Pinedale a little bit and the area. Beautiful, beautiful scenery and lakes. And be sure and tell Andy Nelson hi for me.
I sure will. He's a wonderful man.
He's a pretty cool guy. You need to get him to come up and entertain for you some up there when you have some big deals.
Well, when he's not busy being a chiropractor and a county commissioner and a radio announcer and
and a farrier, he does a little.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, he does a little bit of everything. So neat guy. Well, I'll tell you, there's a place that's on my bucket list now, and that is Timberline Lodge and Big Country Outfitters. And do they catch some pretty good sized trout up at your place?
The biggest.
All right. So if you love to hunt and fish, if you love to trail ride, if you like to enjoy winter sports and activities, be sure and visit their website, like their Facebook page, and get in touch with Melanie, and she'll take you out on a hunting trip that you won't forget, or a trail ride that will be one for the ages. So we really, really appreciate you taking the time to be with us and tell us about Timberline Lodge and the Big Country Outfitters. And if you want a little slice of Wyoming on your own, you can contact Melanie about that and get more information. You can find that on the website as well. So, Melanie, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, look forward to it. All right. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Tina Mae Weber on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and this is another great song that talks about Wyoming. And this was another one that we picked out for Melanie, and it's one by Trinity Seeley. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Last night I watched the most amazing sunset, purple lining on the clouds. White lightning raced across the Rattlesnake Ridge, thunder crashing loud. Riding along just the old coyote and me, there goes the mountaineer. Checking water troughs along the Pioneer Trail, sage and cedar in the air. I thank God for Wyoming, wide open spaces.
Nowhere, great song by her. And Tina May, I have learned a couple of things today. Number one is to stay away from the ground bees. Don't ride in the middle. And Wyoming.
Don't ride in the middle. Don't ride in the middle.
Don't ride in the middle. And Wyoming is a place that you want to go visit. And Timberline Lodge and Big Country Outfitters is one of those places to visit when you're out in Wyoming. So anyway, fun show. And so it's kind of cool that on your tour that you took about a month ago, that Wyoming turned out to be one of your favorite spots.
It was the prettiest. It was definitely every one of them was my favorite in a different way, but the Wyoming was the prettiest. It was the most breathtakingly beautiful place that I've been.
Okay, no offense to Montana or South Dakota or anywhere else that you might have traveled through, but it is beautiful country out there. Well, we want to be sure and thank our sponsors today in the General Store for their support, and you can find out more about all of those sponsors. Visit their websites by visiting ours at equestrianlegacy.net. And visit the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. And also to Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance, founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. And you can learn more about them by visiting trailguard.org. And we've got a lot of great shows that are lined up through September on all of our programs, and tell us who we'll be talking with next week.
Well, next week we're going to have Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister, and Andy Braylon from the National Geographic show Dead End Express and Trailhead Supply, and myself. We're going to talk about our adventures and pack and trip into the Bob Marshall Wilderness.
Okay, so that should be
any stories on me.
That should be a hoot. So it's going to be great to find out how everybody prepared for this adventure and what sights that they saw. And so that should be a fun show. So we're looking forward to that next Tuesday at noon on Saddle Up America. And then this Thursday, we've got a really great show that's coming up with Doris Daly, a Canadian cowgirl and poet. And she's really lived the cowgirl lifestyle, and we'll be visiting with her. And then a good friend of ours, Etan Bethalakmi, who is the father and founder of Cowboy Dressage, will be joining us. And he's just gotten back from Germany, where he participated in the Americana event there. So we're going to be talking with Eight, and that's this Thursday at noon. And then, of course, on Sunday mornings, no better way to start your week than with Belinda Gale and her great guest on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, that goes live at 9:00 Central Time on Sunday mornings. And then we're real excited about an event that we're helping to sponsor here in Tennessee, and that is the Tennessee Horse Expo. And that's coming up at the Williamson County Ag Expo Center in Franklin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. And come by and visit our booth. We're going to be visiting with Stephanie Lane and Templeton Thompson and Mike and Doris Merritt, and there'll be a little picking and singing and grinning going on, and some opportunity to meet those folks when you come by our booth. And then they've got some great clinics with Craig Cameron. A ranch rodeo will be taking place, and they're doing an extreme cowboy competition, and some other great clinicians and vendors that will be there as well. And that's October the 16th through the 18th. So put that on your calendar and come out and meet us and join us at the Tennessee Horse Expo, middle of October. So any closing thoughts that you have today outside of don't ride in the middle?
Well, just be aware of your surroundings. Know your hunting seasons. It's a busy time of the year throughout. Hunting season is almost amongst us. Some places, I believe, it's active now.
Yeah.
And be aware of that.
Yeah.
Hunt orange.
Wear your orange, and just be careful and know where you're going and find out what the seasons are or anything that may be closed off for hunting season, because that happens.
Also, I'm going to include on that, not only be careful for yourself and your horse, but also be respectful. You know, we share the woods with all kinds of different people. We got hikers, we got bikers, and we've got hunters, and they have a season, and it's only part of the year. And just kind of be mindful of that and, you know, give them respect and give them their time out there hunting.
All right, all right. Well, it's been another fun show, and we look forward to having everybody come back with us next Tuesday at noon for Saddle Up America. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close out the show today with a great song by Dave Stamey, who will be with us on the Campfire Cafe in 2 weeks. And it's a song by Dave called Sweetgrass County Line. As always, we thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Morning, the far hills show traces of snow. The day come dawning like rim rock where junipers grow. Ah, this country is a friend of mine. Its voice is the voice that I hear, and when time leaves me behind, I won't mind if it leaves me right here. Sweetgrass County line, down where the Everstone flows, sunlit waters shine. Old railroad bridge, cottonwoods grow. Ah, this country, how it takes you in to a sky so open and clear. And when time comes to an end, I won't mind if it ended right here. Thunderstorm, afternoon rain, just like a summer dream. Once you've seen it, you're never the same. Ah, this country, how it calls to me, its voice, how it rings in my ear. And when the light finally falls on me, it's all right if it falls on me here. Ah, this country is a friend of mine. Its voice is the voice that I hear. And when time leaves me behind, I won't mind if it leaves me right.